Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If the God of the Bible really exists, I would go gladly to hell. And anybody happy to go to heaven to worship such a creature is morally bankrupt.
It is because God's wrath is real that his mercy is relevant. Unless you have a real wrath, the biblical concepts of mercy and of grace are robbed of their meaning.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It's a witnessy kind of Wednesday. Here's another place I'd rather be. Let's go to Texas. Trish is out in the streets. Oh, Trish, where are you?
Well, speaking of Dallas, I hear there's three major religions here, Todd and Ray. One is a Southern Baptist, church, the Dallas Cowboys, and NASCAR racing.
And she's laughing.
I know, I'm laughing at my own joke.
Yeah, I know.
Who you got there, Trish?
Well, I got to tell you, I was headed to a community college, and then I saw a race car in front of Walgreens, so I thought I'm going to turn around the car and just ask the guy who owns the car if he'd want to be on the radio. So that's where I'm at, and that's why I came up with that little joke, the three religions.
It was like a joke, Trish.
Well, yeah, something like that. But anyway, so I'm in front of this NASCAR, and a gentleman brought his son, his name's David, to look at the car. And, we've just been talking about spiritual things. He's just really interesting. He's got some of the right lingo down, but you'll just have to talk to him. He is not into organized religion. But it's weird. I ask him, some of the questions, the probing questions, when was the last time you read your Bible? Last night. What would you tell somebody if you had 3 minutes to live, And he didn't say repent or anything, but he said believe upon the Lord Jesus. Recognize that you're a sinner and he'll save you. And he said, I could do that in 30 seconds. But he doesn't go to church. He said he hasn't gone to church for a year. Him and his wife are not into that. They're not into organized religion now. It's just an interesting fella.
He'd like the emergent church, I think.
Yeah, I don't know what he's into, but there's just something off.
Yeah.
Something off. Nice gentleman. Very nice. Very kind.
You've got to say that when you say there's something
off. His name's David.
All right, let's give it a go, shall we, Mr. Comfort?
Okay, David, you're live on the radio. If you could come follow me real quick over here. It's a little bit quieter. Okay, here we go. You're live on the radio. Talking to Ray Comfort. Hello.
Hi, David. Thanks for coming on the air. Really appreciate it. Trish
sure.
is a nice lady, isn't she?
She is.
Now, you drive a race car or what?
No, actually, I live in Fort Worth. I was just telling them that I had driven a race car up at the Texas Motor Speedway. You pay for 10 laps and... My wife bought that as a birthday present one
cool.
time. It was one of the best experiences I ever had.
Oh, that sounds exciting. How fast did you go?
Oh, I think I averaged about 140. It wasn't very fast, but
that's
felt
fast.
Like we're going really fast, though, when you're out there.
It doesn't seem fast until you flip.
Yeah, that's right.
And when you flip, then you see how fast. It's pretty hard to stop that speed. So was it powerful?
Say that again?
Was it powerful? I mean, I'm just... The thought of those engines and me with my foot on the accelerator kind of terrifies me to think that I'm in control of the speed of something with that much power. Did it feel like it was powerful to you, or did you just feel like this is so tight, I feel in total control?
Oh, no, it was very, very powerful. In fact, I was just telling the one guy here that my right foot was shaking the whole time. It was just nerves. It wasn't like I was scared, but just the feeling of going that fast and the horsepower in those cars. When they take off in low gears, is incredible. So
yeah, I hear you. I feel the same on my bike sometimes. So what do you think?
If you ever get a chance to do it, do it.
Oh, right. So, David, tell me what you believe about someone's salvation. How does someone enter heaven?
Well, my understanding is very simple, that we're all sinners and that Christ came and died on the cross for everybody, and it's as simply as believing that. That you're a sinner and there's nothing you can do to work your way there, just as Ephesians says, and you need to accept it by faith that he died for your sins, and that's it. There's
so what happens to a Hindu or a Buddhist that dies in their sins?
If they don't believe in the scriptures that man is saved by faith alone, and there's no working your way there, and believe in the Christ of the Bible and in the scriptures, then... They're unfortunately destined to hell, and I hate to say that, but that's just what the scriptures teach.
Well, David, sounds pretty right on to me. You're reading the Bible daily?
Yes, we do. We homeschool our children, so every morning that's one of the first things we do is do our Bible study together as a family.
Okay, can we do a little scenario and a little role play, and you witness to me if I ask you a few questions?
Sure.
Okay. David, I want to go to heaven. What shall I do?
I'm sorry, I have traffic behind me, so it's trouble hearing you. Go ahead and say that again.
I want to go to heaven. What should I do to go to heaven?
Well, you need to, first of all, recognize that you're a sinner, and it just means that you have committed things that God says are not right, and that's why we have the Old Testament, the law, to show us that we have our sin, and you need to realize that he sent his son to die on the cross so that you could... Basically, Christ paid the price for you. He took your place because there has to be a sacrifice for sin. In the Old Testament, they did that through sacrifice of animals until the perfect sacrifice, Jesus Christ, came in the flesh, and that sealed it forever.
So if I said I don't feel like a sinner, I'm actually basically a good person, what would you do with me?
Well, you don't feel like a sinner?
No, I think there's a lot of people that are worse than me, and I'm basically a good person. I try and be kind, and I believe in God, and I pray each night.
Well, the Bible tells us that there's no one that's good, and that we're all sinners, and you just have to accept that by faith. I know that for me, I screw up every day, and whether it's a thought that I have or something that I say wrong to somebody, and it only takes one time, and that's it. That's all it takes you to keep you out of heaven. So the Bible tells me that we're all sinners, and I believe that.
So would you ever use the Ten Commandments when you're witnessing to someone?
Would I ever use the Ten Commandments?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's an interesting question. I don't know that I've ever used the Ten Commandments in witnessing. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Did you know that Jesus did, and Paul did, and Stephen did, and James did?
I believe you're right.
Yeah, remember Mark 10, verse 17, a young man came up to Jesus.
They reference the Torah quite a bit, yes.
Yeah, he said, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Why do you call me good? There's none good but God. You know the commandments." And he gave him some commandments. And then Paul in Romans 2 says, "You who say you shall not steal, do you steal? You who say you shall not commit adultery, do you commit adultery?" So he was using the commandments to bring the knowledge of sin. You're familiar with Romans?
Yes.
Paul said, "By the law is the knowledge of sin." Romans 7:13, "I had not known sin, but by the law," or the law, the commandment showed sin to be exceedingly sinful. So what the law does, the Ten Commandments, the moral law, shows us sin in its true light so we can see how high God's standard of righteousness is, and so
Absolutely.
We can see how far we've fallen short of that standard of glory. So
Absolutely.
That's what we do on this program. We try and point Christians back to biblical evangelism. You think when Nathan approached David, he just didn't say, "David, you know, there's a little lamb that got," and David says, that man that did that will die. He didn't say, "Well, David, all have sinned and come short of God's standard." He said, "You are the man. Why have you despised the commandment of the Lord?" Because he had committed adultery. He had stolen his neighbor's wife. He'd coveted his neighbor's wife. He had committed murder. He'd violated so many of the commandments. So that's what we point to, because that's what stirs the conscience. Romans 2:15, "Which show the work of the law written on their heart, the conscience bears witness." So the conscience, which means with knowledge, bears witness with the commandment. So when we say to someone, you know it's wrong to steal, you know it's wrong to lie, to commit adultery, etc., they can understand that that's what God requires them and how they've fallen short of that standard. Todd, Todd might like to talk to you, David.
Hey, David, how do you do?
Hi, how are you?
I'm swell. Trish had mentioned that you don't like going to church. How come?
Well, you know, I grew up in church all my life. I was saved at the age of 5, and my parents got saved when I was 1 year old, is what they told me. And so I grew up in a Christian home, and I went to church, and I did the church thing all of my life, and even when I moved away from home, and I'm 38 now. I have some very good friends. One of them is in North Carolina, and he has counseled me in some areas. He's a very dear friend of mine that has talked to me about homeschooling and some things like that. And one of the things he has mentioned to me is our current, I'll call them institutional churches, because I think that's a good word, that everybody goes to church and plays church. And in reality, I understand that we are the church. We don't go to church because we are the church. We might go to a church meeting or to a church building, but what I see happening as I study more and I see the way the New Testament church operated, which is pretty much house churches, I see today that we have these large buildings that suck up the budget They drain the resources and the tithe money that comes in that people are giving. We have paid clergy that are tremendously overpaid, and I've read some books that talk about a lot of the things in the church, from the pulpits to the sermon to just about anything that's there, came from the 3rd and 4th century people as they brought paganism principles into the church, and that continued throughout to this modern day. So when I look at the modern church, I see that as something that is not scriptural.
Let me just encourage you in one thing, if you don't mind, sir. I understand your response to so many churches who aren't doing things very well. Not all of them are that way. There are definitely some good churches out there, and there's nothing wrong with setting up a building. There's nothing wrong with that. Just make sure, David, as you look for that just right fellowship for you and your family, that you're sitting underneath somebody's authority and that there's an authority structure, because if you don't, there's a real tendency for those churches, nothing wrong with doing the home church thing, but they can get kind of goofy and kind of out there if there's no accountability and a high view of Scripture. Can I encourage you to make sure you keep that in view so your family doesn't find yourself in some sort of strange place?
Certainly, and I know exactly what you're referring to when you say that. We could talk more if we had more time.
Appreciate it very much. That goes for everybody.
This is Wretched Radio.
Tempted, but I'm not going to do it.
Some churches in the rural areas in Zimbabwe, you get a church with about 200 members. You only find one person with one Bible.
So tempted to say, you know, for just the cost of a cup of coffee. But I'm not going to do that. But we could change that statistic. There are churches all over the globe. 200 people attending a church with one Bible. $5 will purchase a new Bible for a believer. Bible League International, historically proficient, sound, reliable. Let's get some Bibles into the hands of believers so they don't have to be sharing paragraphs until the next service. Please support Bible League International, wretched.org/Bible.
Here at Wretched, we know you guys are already great at giving away Don't Stub Your Toe and What Time Is Purple. So, why not add Are You a Rotten Fish to your arsenal? Are You a Rotten Fish is a perfect booklet for anyone looking to truly understand what makes a false convert. Are You a Rotten Fish is a detailed treatment of true and false conversions. You know, the difference between wise and foolish virgins, wheat and tares, the difference between good and rotten fish. Give it away to college students as they head off to school or to your youth group at church. Go to wretched.org/fish and get your copies now. Are You a Rotten Fish compares and contrasts the true gospel versus the false gospel in a short, thorough, punchy, yet loving way. Get your copies of Are You a Rotten Fish at wretched.org/fish. wretched.org/fish.
When you sponsor a Tomorrow Club for $30 per month in Eastern Europe, you are writing stories like this.
Vova and Maxim, one is 11 and another 13, they're brothers. Both of them smoke like crazy, so when they joined Tomorrow Club, they would just make noise and kick other kids around. That winter, the father left the whole family without wood for the furnace, so they could freeze to death, and without food. So the leaders came and actually brought the wood to the family and fixed the things that they were broken in the home. So the boys saw what happened. They got saved, and the change in their attitude and behavior is just immense.
$30 per month, you'll be discipling 30 Eastern European kids in far-flung and very poor villages in Eastern Europe, and so much more. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Son of Man. Daniel chapter 7 describes the Son of Man who came from heaven, received worship from all nations, and rules a kingdom that will never be destroyed. Jesus uses this title to affirm that he is fully human and
fully divine.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Trish, where are you?
Well, I'm at Walgreens again with the race car, the NASCAR race car. And,
Finesse?
Yeah. It's a nice day today.
Wait. Finesse, yeah. The women's shampoo. Sometimes you need a little finesse, sometimes you need a lot.
Sure.
They're sponsoring.
I don't think there's any women's shampoo sponsoring this car, though. It's more like Nature Valley, granola bars, Colgate, all that stuff.
Ah, that's a little better. All right, fine. All right, fine. Sorry for interrupting. Please forgive me. Carry on.
But at the same time, I'm so happy I didn't have to drive very far. I was going to drive kind of far to go to a community college, but I saw this race car, and I thought, I'll stop here, and it just turned out to be wonderful.
Uh-huh. Did you find anyone to talk to, or
I
you
did,
just...
I did, yes.
I was wondering where you're going with this, right?
We're out here. I could have kept talking about racing, but...
Yeah, well, time's up. Thanks for joining us.
We're out here at Walgreens, and I'm standing with Chandra, who is hoping to be a radio personality. She's going to school to... You want to be a... What is it?
I graduated, actually.
Oh, she graduated. You graduated in May, and you have a degree in...
broadcast journalism and a minor in organizational management.
So, I mean, what are the hopes to, what do you really want to do with this?
I want to be an on-air personality, either on radio or TV. I did radio as an internship. It was kind of fun. So I was going to start off with radio and then transfer on over to TV.
Don't do it.
So, like, do you ever get nervous doing radio stuff?
Not anymore. I used to, but not anymore.
Really? That's great. Okay, so Todd, are you going to talk to her or Ray?
Oh, definitely Ray. Definitely Ray.
Chandra, I'm passing you on. Okay, here
talk
you go.
About the race car some more, Ray.
Hello.
Chandra, you just passed on. My name's Ray. Thanks for joining us. You want to be a radio personality?
Yeah, I do.
You are one at the moment. You're on radio. Be yourself. Let your light shine.
Cool.
And you've got a degree in organizational management?
Broadcast journalism, and so, I have a minor in organizational management.
What does that mean, organizational management?
So I can manage people and organize stuff.
Oh.
Basically, it is what it is. So, just a minor I took up, something that I can just, you know, add on to my resume.
Okay, let me ask you some questions to see where you're coming from. Do you believe there's moral absolutes?
Huh?
Do you think there's moral absolutes?
I don't know what that is.
Is there a definite right and a definite wrong in life?
Is there a what of right and wrong?
Definite, absolute right and an absolute wrong. Like, is it wrong to kill... To steal, to lie?
Oh, yeah. So yeah, I think so.
You believe in moral absolutes?
I believe that there's a right and there's a wrong.
Okay. So what sort of spiritual background have you come from?
I was raised in a Southern Baptist church. I'm Christian.
Have you been born again?
Yes, I have been baptized.
You've been born again?
I've been baptized, yes.
Have you been born again?
Have I been born again?
Yes.
I believe the terminology is, yeah.
You think they're one and the same?
Do I think they're the same?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm not really religious, so I don't know a lot of terminology and stuff. I've accepted Christ in my life. I've been baptized. I accepted Christ in my life through baptismal at a very early age.
So what age was that?
I do call it born again.
So what age?
I believe I was about 11.
11. So
I didn't have the teenage on the end of my digits, so I don't think I was 13.
Okay.
I think I was 11, 12.
Chandra, here's the Bible verse that we're referring to. The Bible says, repent and be baptized. So did you repent at the age of 11 and you were baptized? You turned from your sins?
Yes, I was.
And why did you do that? Why did you give your life to Christ? What was your motive?
Because I really don't like the heat, so I don't want to go to hell.
So that's the only reason?
Right.
It's the only reason?
But it's good to live your life right, I believe.
Yeah.
I believe everybody wants to live their life right. If not, then, you know, that's their choice. But being raised in church, that's what I agreed with. So if you agree with something, you do it, right?
Chandra, you said that you came to Christ because you didn't want to go to hell. What were you doing that would have sent you to hell?
Well, at age 11, I don't think I was too bad. I wasn't killing anybody. I wasn't, like, stealing or anything like that. But you train a child in the way that they shall go. So throughout my life, I read the Bible, and that's my teaching. That's your training. That's what you're supposed to do is read the Bible so you can learn.
So when did you last read it?
What to do. When I last read my Bible?
Yeah.
I read my Bible last night.
And what did you read?
I have a prayer chart. It's like a calendar. And what it is it gives you like a quote, and it tells you the verse to refer to. And I don't remember the verse exactly. I just know it's in the book of Psalms. It's a different thing every day.
Okay.
And what it is, it's like 31 little squares. It looks like a calendar. It's like 31 of them.
So do you go out of your do you go out of your way to share the gospel with strangers?
Huh?
Do you go out of your way to share the gospel with strangers?
Oh no, I don't go out of my way.
Do you ever share your faith?
I'm doing it right now.
Other than with me on the radio, I mean, do you talk to non-Christians about their eternal salvation?
I may have talked to non-Christians, but
you're not sure.
Yeah, okay. I'm not sure. I never asked, like, well, are you a Christian? You know, that's not the first thing I ask of somebody.
Is it the second thing you ask?
If it comes up that I'm not afraid to share my opinion.
Oh, that's great. Chandra, if someone dies without Christ, where do they go to?
If they die without accepting Christ in their life?
Yeah.
It's said that they go to hell.
So
I don't know. I won't see them go there, so I'm not sure.
So do you?
But
do you,
it's said that they go to hell.
Does that concern you that your friends and people you don't even know are going to go to hell without Christ?
It is a big concern. It
so
is.
Could you let someone drown without reaching out or throwing them a rope?
Could I let them do that?
Yeah, someone
can fall, I watch somebody drown?
That's right. You've got a 4-year-old falls in your swimming pool. You've got the power to reach out and save him, but you don't. You don't go out of your way because he's a stranger. You don't even know him.
Oh, would I do that?
Yeah. Would you let someone drown?
No, I don't know.
Because that's what you're doing if you're a Christian and you don't care about reaching out to the lost. The Bible actually says that. It says others, having compassion, saved with fear, pulling them from the fire, hating with a garment spotted by the flesh. And love mm-hmm. could never let a child drown in a swimming pool. And love can't sit on a pew and let sinners sink into hell. We've got mm-hmm. to do something. So let me ask you a question. Is your heart deceitfully wicked?
What?
Is your heart deceitfully wicked?
Is my heart deceitfully wicked?
Yeah.
I don't believe so.
Or do you think you're a good person?
I do think I'm a good person.
Okay, let's just go through some commandments because this is the basis of, this is the reason someone becomes a Christian. Have you ever stolen anything in your life?
Yeah, I have.
What do you call someone who steals things?
Huh?
What do you call somebody who steals things?
They're a thief.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever lied in your life?
Yeah, I have.
What do you call someone who lies?
A liar.
Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Huh?
Have you ever used God's name in vain?
No, I don't anymore.
You have done it, so that's called blasphemy. It's very serious to use God's name as a cuss word.
I know.
Now, Jesus said if you look with lust, sexual desire, at another person, you commit adultery with them in your heart. Have you ever looked at someone with lust?
Huh?
Have you ever looked at somebody with lust?
With lust?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, listen to this, Chandra. This is how God sees you, as a lying, thieving, blasphemous, adulterate heart. And the Bible mm-hmm. says from God's point of view, or even from anyone's point of view, our hearts are deceitfully wicked, and God's wrath abides upon us. That's the reason you need a Savior, not just because I want to avoid hell. It's because you have sinned against God and that you and I are worthy of hell. God says on the day of judgment, he's going to manifest all our secret sins, all the things that we've done are wrong. If you've hated someone, the Bible says you're a murderer. That's why you mm-hmm. come to Christ, because he suffered and died on the cross for your sins. He mm-hmm. took your punishment, paid your fine in his life's blood, rose from the dead, and what you've got to do is repent and trust in him and then be baptized. And a fruit that you've passed from death to life is that you will care about the unsaved. You'll be horrified that you could let anyone go to hell. And the reason God saves someone and lets them stay on earth is so that they'll be his witnesses and reach out to the lost. So if you call yourself a Christian, you should have a concern for the lost. Have you ever heard of Charles Spurgeon?
Huh?
Have you ever heard of Charles Spurgeon?
Child?
Now, Charles Spurgeon was a great preacher of 100-something years ago. He said these words, "Have you no wish for others to be saved? Then you're not saved yourself, be sure of that." He said, if you don't care about the lost, he says, I don't think you're even saved. He says, that's something you can be certain about because love could not let someone perish. And so the Bible, Chandra, tells each of us to examine ourselves and see if we're in the faith. And if we're not sure, if there's not fruit, then we should make our calling election sure. Todd, you got 1 minute to talk.
Hey, thank you very much for being with us today. Chandra?
Oh, hello?
Hi. Hey,
what's up?
Thank you for being with us today. We appreciate it very much.
Cool. You're welcome.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Ray?
Yeah.
Were you talking to anybody there?
I don't know. She seemed to be not there at all.
I think we moved from, oh, won't this be fun to be on radio, to, could I just go sit in the race car again?
Yeah.
Because that was a whole lot more fun. All right, let's just pretend for a moment she's not listening, because she's not. Listen to what the man with the funny accent just said. Have you no concern for lost souls to be saved? How does it go, Ray?
Have you no wish for others to be saved? Then you're not saved yourself. Be sure of that.
Let yourself do a little self-examination. Do you have a concern for the lost? And if you say, yeah, I do, but I don't know what to do, here's a recommendation, and I'm not being silly or trite. Do something. Do something. Figure it out. What can you do to witness to somebody? Where do you need to get started? Tracks, calling people, whatever. Just do something.
This is Wretched Radio.
Christians are called to make disciples, but where do we start? Hearts for the Lost assists local pastors and church congregations by helping them equip the saints with biblical principles for personal evangelism. They'll fly out to your church to put on an evangelism seminar and then go out into the streets with you to put it into practice. And it's all free. To learn more or to schedule a conference, go to heartsforthelost.com. Heartsforthelost.com. This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Perkenis. A Christian school in Maryland asking a federal court for temporary relief after a school voucher program booted it out for requiring its preschool through eighth grade students to refrain from sexual misconduct. Yeah, I had to read that twice, too. School voucher program boots a Christian school because its preschool through eighth grade students are required to refrain from sexual misconduct. Bethel Christian Academy sued in June for not only terminating it from the state voucher program, but also for asking it to reimburse the nearly $100,000 in voucher funds paid during the 2 years it participated in the program. The money had allowed many low-income students to attend the school. Alliance Defending Freedom attorneys filed the motion in U.S. District Court on the school's behalf, asking the court to stop the state from kicking the school out of the program or making it pay back the money until the case is resolved. They argued the state would only harm students who will be forced to leave Bethel or are deterred from attending Bethel because the school can no longer receive those vouchers. Christiana Holcomb, the ADF counsel, said the government can't discriminate against religious schools simply because it dislikes their religious beliefs, adding the government can't exclude the religious group from a neutral government program just because of their religious character. A church has taken the state of California to court over rules forcing it to cover elective abortions in its employees' insurance plans. Attorneys for Skyline Wesleyan Church in La Mesa, California, presented the case to the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Pasadena this week. In a brief filed before the hearing, attorneys for Skyline argue the mandate unconstitutionally forced the church to violate its beliefs about the sanctity of life. State attorneys argue the church had not sought a religious exemption, but the judge seemed skeptical. Alliance Defending Freedom attorneys filed the lawsuit after a 2014 rule change by California's Department of Managed Health Care required religious organizations to cover elective abortion. The church appealed to the 9th Circuit after a U.S. district judge ruled against it. And from Harvest Bible Church, James McDonald, the founding pastor of Harvest, has been formally disqualified from ministry. The elders of Harvest Bible Church shared the announcement on Sunday with the congregation, saying that McDonald did not meet scriptural requirements to be an elder, according to the Christian Post. In a letter read to the congregation Sunday, Elder Carl Jackson said the elders were thankful for McDonald's service to the church, but that he is not above reproach. Jackson said McDonald was fired from the elder board in February for, quote, having a sinful pattern of inappropriate language, anger, and domineering behavior. This means McDonald will not be able to serve again as an elder or pastor at the church, but the current elders do believe McDonald could be restored to ministry someday. The letter notes, however, that in order for that day to come, the fruits of repentance must be evident. More Wretched Radio straight ahead. I'm Tony Verkennis.
Revelation. How can anyone know God unless he reveals himself? If God did not speak, religion would be nothing more than man's best guess. But God has revealed himself in creation, in the Bible, and in the person of Jesus Christ. We can know God
and we can be brought into right standing with him.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's hit the streets. Oh, Trish.
Hi, I'm at the Great Fest, which, as you can imagine, is basically just a celebration of Texas wines. There's all kinds of kiosks and booths and free raffles to win custom bikes for $35,000. All kinds of people out here today.
I have to confess, this is so interesting, because when I think fine wine, I do think Texas.
Do you really? Not.
No, he's being sarcastic.
I think of Italy, where we're going to be going.
Yeah.
It's a dusty wine.
Well, it's trodden with genuine horse hooves.
Champagne is always so flat. We want to stop now? All righty. Yeah. Do you have somebody we can chat with there, Trish?
I actually have a gentleman. His name's JC, and he's a kind of Roman Catholic. Are you Roman? You're Italian.
Yeah.
Roman Catholic. But he says he's, you know, not really practicing anything.
Right.
He's open to all things. Were you born in Italy, or you were born in America?
American.
Okay, he's an American. Yeah. JC is his name. You ready to talk about spiritual things?
John Charles,
okay.
One a bit.
I think you're talking to my friend Ray. All right, here you are.
John
you're
Charles
live on the
Ray.
Air.
Oh,
John
thank
Charles.
You.
Watch.
Hello.
John Charles, is that your full name?
Oh, no, actually my first name is Jason and my middle name is Christopher.
No!
My name's Ray. So your first name's Jason?
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you coming on the program.
Absolutely.
Tell me, what do you think happens after someone dies? Give me your thoughts.
You know, I mean, that is the great mystery that I can't help but think about every single day. And I am very optimistic, and I'm very hopeful that a person is rewarded for their good deeds and for their actions. And that's why we live by moral code. If you're not going to practice religion, I think that a person can at least try to be a good, upstanding citizen, a good citizen of their town, of their city, of their state, of their country, and so forth. And I'm very hopeful and very, very optimistic that there is paradise beyond the physical world.
What good things do I have to do to get to heaven? You talked about being rewarded for good deeds. What do I have to do? Let's say I'm starting at square one. I'm going to die. Heaven is waiting, and I've got to do some good deeds to get there. What do you think I should do to get there?
Well, I think you certainly should. I think you certainly should respect your fellow human being, for starters. I think that, you know, acts of charity and helping those in need, where you see that you're able to, and you have a chance to, and you can, I think you should seize those opportunities. I think you should be grateful for the things that you have.
Who?
And
who should we be grateful to? The government?
No, definitely not. It's again, like I said, without being a practicing Roman Catholic, I do believe in God, and I do believe that He is watching everything that we do, and that He does have a hand in some of the things that happen in our lives, and we should be grateful to Him.
Okay, well, that's great
that we do have.
Tell me, have you kept the Ten Commandments?
I'm sorry?
Have you kept the Ten Commandments?
No.
So you've broken them?
No.
Which ones are you broken?
I have, in the past, in my younger days, I have bore false witness, I suppose.
So you've lied?
Told a few tall tales, yes.
So what do you call some, Jason, what do you call someone who tells lies?
Well, it's just that person's lying.
Yeah, what do you call them? What am I called if I tell lies?
Well, you call that person a liar if they do it consistently. Now, you said, were you talking about doing it consistently versus having done it at one point in time in my life?
Yeah, just doing it at one point in time.
There's a difference there.
Can you explain the difference? Because if I murder one person at one point in time in my life, I'm a murderer. If I commit adultery at one point in time in my life, I'm an adulteress, or adulterer, should I say. If I steal one thing at one point in time in my life, even if it's in the past, I'm a thief. Why would lying be any different? If I tell a lie, I'm a liar today, a liar tomorrow. Time doesn't wash it away. It's like even civil law. If I break civil law and say, Judge, that was last week. This is today, Judge. Judge is going to say, what's that got to do anything? Time doesn't wash away civil crime, and time doesn't wash away crime against God's law.
Well, I would just say that we all fall short.
Okay, have you ever stolen anything in the past?
Yes, I have.
What do you call someone who steals things?
You call them a thief.
Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Yes, I have.
That's called blasphemy, and it's very serious. In fact, God considered it to be so serious in the Old Testament, he commands the death sentence upon anyone that's used his name in vain. Jesus said whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
Yes, I have.
So, Jason, listen to this. This is, I'm not judging you. This is by your own admission. You're a self-admitted lying, thieving, blasphemous, adulterate heart, and we've only looked at four of the Ten Commandments. So here's a big if. If God judges you by the Ten Commandments on the Day of Judgment, do you think you'd be innocent or guilty?
I can't say one way or another.
Well, I can help you. I can help you there. You've admitted that you've broken four commandments, so you would be guilty. So do you think you'd go to heaven or hell?
I don't know the answer to that.
Well, I can help you out there. It's no mystery. The Bible says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. No thief, no blasphemer, no adulterer will inherit God's kingdom. So does it concern you that today, if you were to die and stand before God, you'd be found guilty and end up in hell for eternity? Does that concern you?
I can't live my life based on that.
I don't want you to live your life based on that. I want you to obey the gospel.
Well, sure, outwardly it does concern me, but I can't live my life based around that concern.
Okay, well, let's say it does concern you and you want to do something about it, because the fact that you respect your fellow men and do acts of charity has got nothing to do with your crimes against God. That's like standing in front of a judge and saying, "Judge, I'm guilty of raping that woman, then I cut her throat, but I want you to know I respect my fellow man and I do deeds of charity regularly." The judge is going to say, "That's totally irrelevant. What are you trying to do, bribe me?" You'll anger a judge if you start talking about good things you've done to try and wash away your crimes. And it's the same with God. The Bible says the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. Jesus said, "You are they who justify themselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed in the sight of man is an abomination in the sight of God." So it should greatly concern you. You said it concerns you outwardly. I mean, I assume that means it does concern you in your mind that you want to live. You don't want to go to hell for eternity. Would that be right?
Yeah, that would be.
Well, here's the answer to your dilemma. You began by saying this is a great mystery, what happens after someone dies. It's not at all. The Bible says it's appointed a man once to die and after this the judgment. But the same God, who is a God of justice and righteousness and holiness, is rich in mercy. And he sent his Son to suffer and die on the cross for the sin of the world. And when Jesus was on the cross, he took the punishment for you and me. God's wrath fell upon him so it wouldn't have to fall upon you. In other words, you broke God's law, and Jesus paid your fine in his life's blood. Christ has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Then the scriptures say he rose from the dead and defeated death. Your greatest enemy has been defeated, Jason. And what you must do in response to what God has done is repent. That means don't just confess your sins to God, or don't just confess them to a priest. Turn from them. Repent. And trust in Jesus Christ in the same way you trust a parachute to save you. Don't let anything distract you, Jason. This is so important. This is your eternal salvation. You don't know when you're going to die. You could be snatched into eternity tonight. Death could seize upon you tonight in your sleep or driving to work. So this is very, very serious. And think why I'd talk to you like this. These are hard words, but they are important words. There's nothing more important than your eternal salvation. Todd, would you like to talk to Jason?
Jason, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing good.
You're getting preached at, sir.
I'm sorry?
You're getting preached at by this fella.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, what do you think?
Well, I mean, I think it's a free country. And he is certainly entitled to speak his mind and to preach, if you will, because we are in America and it's a free country.
Mm-hmm.
And I am free to listen or not to listen.
Yes, sir. Right. But that still begs a question, though, a big one. Is what he's saying true or false? What do you think?
At this point, I can't really say. I think, you know, he said quite a bit. There are things that I agree with, and there are things that I disagree with.
What don't you agree with, Jason?
Well, again, without getting bogged down into semantics, I think the characterization of someone who has misstepped previously as that person being branded with that misstep for the entirity of their life and eternity, I just don't believe that. I just don't believe that.
But that happens every day, doesn't it? For an example, kind of an extreme one, and I know that there's some problems with this, but if somebody raped somebody, you'd say, well, he's a rapist. Well, does he
right.
stop being a rapist? No, he was a rapist. He did that. That's who he is.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing is true with our sin and our nature. Sin isn't what we do, it's who we are, and that manifests itself in our behavior. And everything happens in the past, Jason, so it just doesn't go away because of time. It's sort of like the justice system here on Earth. If somebody commits a crime, they'll take years to find the guy, but when they do, they don't say, well, the crime is 50% less because it's been 5 years. No, they punish him for what he's done, and the same thing is true with our sins. So, Jason, what's so important is not about his ability to proclaim what he believes and you to live in a country where there's free speech. What's really important is what he is saying, true or false. And all we can do is challenge you to think about that today. Fair enough, sir?
Fair enough.
All right, dude. You have yourself a good time at Grapefest.
Thank you.
All right, see ya.
See ya.
Bye. Ah, yes, indeed. We live in a free country, Ray. You can say whatever you want to. That's nice. That's a lovely sentiment. That's a nice thought. And if you were thinking the same thing, you are still confronted with the question, is what that Kiwi said true or false? Because your eternity depends on it.
This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for joining us today. Always appreciate that you choose to spend part of your day with us here at Wretched Radio. We are getting closer to Road Trip to Truth, hosted by John Fabares. Road Trip to Truth is our video series that went out to college campuses and talked to students about the issues that are important to them and shared the gospel with this lost, anxious, and depressed generation. Road Trip to Truth will help you know how to share your faith with this younger generation. And it's all made possible by the generosity of our Wretched Monthly Gospel Partners. If you are able, would you join us as a Wretched Gospel Partner? Visit wretched.org/donate for details. Wretched.org/donate. Together, we can reach more and more people who desperately need to hear the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ. So please, if you're able, consider becoming a gospel partner at wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Well, Geneva was married, but in her 20s, she had a one-year-old daughter at home that would interfere with her plans to go back to school, and so she was hoping she wasn't pregnant, but she was. I asked her how she felt about her pregnancy. She said, I don't want it, and my husband doesn't want it. She agreed to do an ultrasound, and she didn't want to take any pictures of the ultrasound, but she did look at it for a long time. And so we put it in the file, and then we started walking out of the clinic with her, and she turns to the nurse, and she says, do you have any referrals for medical providers? And I said, yeah, we've got a good doctor. You can go see him. Well, she went to him, and she chose life.
Ultrasounds save lives. Would you please consider supporting preborn.org, providing free ultrasounds, and presenting the gospel to moms and dads, $28 per ultrasound. How many could you support each month? Please support Preborn at preborn.org/wretched.
Here at Wretched, we know you guys are already great at giving away Don't Stub Your Toe and What Time Is Purple. So, why not add Are You a Rotten Fish to your arsenal? Are You a Rotten Fish is a perfect booklet for anyone looking to truly understand what makes a false convert. Are You a Rotten Fish is a detailed treatment of true and false conversions. You know, the difference between wise and foolish virgins, wheat and tares, the difference between good and rotten fish. Give it away to college students as they head off to school or to your youth group at church. Go to wretched.org/fish and get your copies now. Are You a Rotten Fish compares and contrasts the true gospel versus the false gospel in a short, thorough, punchy, yet loving way. Get your copies of Are You a Rotten Fish at wretched.org/fish. wretched.org/fish.
An apostle is a messenger sent from God. The apostles were granted power and authority to establish the New Testament church. There are no apostles living today, but just as the early church dedicated themselves to the apostles' teachings, so we dedicate ourselves to their teachings, which have been recorded in the New Testament. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Alrighty, Trish, where are you, kiddo?
Grapefest.
Oh, you're still there, of course. You're at Grapefest.
Yes. I'm at the Grapefest in Grapevine. It's, I guess, the Texan wine tasting thing. Believe it or not, Texans, I guess, drink wine. and I found a young gentleman. His name's Shane, and he's definitely drinking his his share of beer.
Is he drunk?
No, they are not yet. Everything just gets started in the evening, so I guess they've got a head start.
How old is he?
He's in college. I think he's probably about 20.
Okay.
Young guy. And he says he's a Southern Baptist, but he told me, he goes, I know I'm not walking with God. He goes, look at me. And, you know, he had his beer, you know, the smell of alcohol. They're not drunk, though, but give it a few hours, and I bet they will be. So, you know, and he told me, he said, I know I'm not walking with God. I was very Southern Baptist. He's like, but I'm partying. I'm doing the college thing. I'm getting drunk. And the whole thing, I mean, he said it. I said, would you be willing to say that on the radio? He goes, oh, yeah. He goes, I'm totally open to talk to these guys.
Hmm. Love to talk to him.
All right.
So his name's Shane. Nice young guy.
Yeah. All right. Drinking a beer at Wine Fest. All right. Let's do it. Shane is his name.
Okay, I'm passing you on.
Hello?
Shane, thanks for coming on the radio. My name's Ray.
Ray, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. So you're drinking beer. How many you had?
About four.
Do you drink much?
Yeah, I go to college, so I got to drink a lot.
Hey, have you ever been intoxicated?
A couple times a week, probably, I'd say.
What does the word toxic mean?
Toxic? Harmful?
Poison.
Poison, yeah.
So what happens when you're intoxicated?
You're poisoning your liver.
Yeah, why are you doing it? You nuts?
Hey, I'm from Texas, man. Everybody drinks down here.
Yeah, well, you don't have to follow the sheep. Have a brain. Use it. Say, I don't want to poison my body. My body throws it back up. It's saying it's not good for me. Go and eat sand down the beach. It'll probably do you more good than drinking alcohol. It's crazy. So, what do you think happens when someone dies, speaking of alcohol?
Depends on what religion you are, whether you're going to figure out where you go. But, well, I mean, you know, I was raised in the Christian atmosphere, so... You either got heaven or hell, one or the other.
So where are you going?
Well, I mean, I grew up in church all my life and went, you know, I'm not saying just because I grew up in church it means I'm going to heaven, but, you know, I've accepted a lot of things and that's where I hope I'm going.
What do you mean by a lot of things?
Oh, I mean, you know, as far as, you know, accepting God, you know, asking for repentance and stuff like that.
So you've given your heart to Jesus?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm not acting like it right now. By far, I can say I've strayed far from where I'm supposed to be, but I know right from wrong. This is the only wrong I'm doing at the moment.
You're not lusting after women?
Yeah, that too.
So you're fornicating, having sex out of marriage?
Yeah.
Are you lying and stealing?
No.
Have you ever lied in your life?
Yeah, everybody's lied. That's
so what do you call what do you call someone who tells lies?
A sinner?
A liar.
A liar? Well, yeah, that too.
Have you ever stolen something?
Yeah.
What do you call someone who steals?
A thief.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Yeah.
That's called blasphemy. It's a violation of the third of the Ten Commandments, and God considers it to be so serious, he demands the death sentence for someone who takes his name and uses it as a cuss word. So, and do you remember what Jesus said about lust?
About lust?
Lust, yeah.
I know they burned Sodom and Gomorrah down.
No, that was homosexuality. This is what he said about lust. Whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. So if you have lust after a woman, you're an adulterer. So listen to this, Shane.
Okay.
And let's see if you still think you're going to heaven. By your own admission, you're a fornicator, a liar, a blasphemer, a thief, and an adulterer at heart. So do you think you're going to make it to heaven?
If you ask for forgiveness, yeah, but you can't judge anybody. Only God's going to be the judge.
Yeah, and he judges us guilty. We're all condemned already, and asking for forgiveness won't help you. Don't you realize that?
Jesus died on the cross for our sins, so everybody had the opportunity to get into heaven if they asked for forgiveness.
Okay, so if you were to die today, where would you go?
If I died today, I'm pretty sure I'd be going to heaven. I mean, I have asked for forgiveness numerous times and, you know, tell my sins to the Lord and ask for forgiveness.
You know,
imagine, nobody's perfect.
Imagine, Shane, a criminal standing in front of a judge and saying, Judge, I'm guilty of raping that woman, but I just want to admit that to you. I'm sorry for doing it. So, is the judge just going to let you go because you said you did it and because you won't do it again and because you're sorry? Of course not.
No.
He has to judge you. And the Bible says this, and listen very carefully, Shane, because I'm talking to you man to man. Jesus said, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord. We did many wonderful things in your name. And then you'll say to them, I'll say to them, depart from me, you worker of lawlessness, I never knew you. That means people who had violated God's law, lying, stealing, blaspheming, fornicating, lusting. And what you're doing, I don't know if you realize it, but you're playing the hypocrite. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Hypocrites will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Just take the time to read the last verses of of Matthew 24. If that servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming, and begin to smite his fellow servants and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in and out if he thinks not, and cut him in half and give him his portion with the hypocrites. That means they'll go to hell. And I'm very concerned for you because you lack holiness in your life. You're not living in righteousness. You're not bringing forth fruit of repentance. And if you died today, and I'm not judging you, I'm just saying from what came from your mouth, you'd end up in hell, and I'd hate that to happen to you. You sound like a nice guy, and I'm concerned for your salvation. What's probably happened is you've had a false conversion. You gave your heart to Jesus but didn't repent because you didn't see sin as being as bad as it is in God's sight. There's been no fear of God in your heart. And what you've got to do is say, Lord, I've been lusting and fornicating and blaspheming. I'm a liar and a thief. Oh, God, create a clean heart within me. Renew within me a right spirit. And then realize that God poured his life's blood out on the cross so you could be forgiven. How could you go back to sin after he's done that to cleanse you? You'd say, Lord, I'm not going to do that again after you did this for me. God loved you so much that he became a human being and shed his life's blood. He agonized on the cross. His soul was made an offering for sin so you could be forgiven. So how can you go back and do it again? You're despising his sacrifice. So cry out, God, forgive me, I'm a sinner. And say, God, once and for all, created me a clean heart. And he'll make you new, Shane, so that you won't want to sin. He'll give you a new heart with new desires. The desire will still be there to sin, but you'll want to do God's will above it. You'll say, not my will, but yours be done. Besides, you know that if you continue to sin, it'll take you to hell, so you'll turn from it because the fear of God will fill your heart. Do you have a Bible at home?
Yeah. Well, it's not a full Bible. It's like a youth version that you flip through, and it's got like different passages for different things.
Shane, when did you last read it?
Probably about 2 months ago.
I don't know if you can feel it, but I really care about you, and I just love to give you a hug. It'll probably freak you out, but I'm motivated by love when I'm talking to you like this. They're hard things, but the Bible says that someone who loves you will smite you. They'll hit you because they want you to live. They want you to turn around. And that's what I'm trying to do with my words. I got a friend here I'd like to talk to you.
Shane, how do you do, sir?
Good, how are you?
Hey, I want to tell you about how much I love my three children, okay?
Okay.
I love them so much, and I cut time out of my schedule every Monday and Wednesday and Friday night to beat them with a stick.
You take time out of your schedule to beat them?
Oh, I schedule it. Yeah. In fact, I wake up in the morning looking forward to beating them three times a week.
And he was talking about me drinking and beating people.
Yeah, well, the point that I was trying to make is you probably wouldn't believe that I love my children very much if I schedule time to beat on them, right?
No.
Yeah. And so same thing when you say, I'm a Christian, but I'm taking time out to get drunk and fornicate and to just excuse it away by saying, well, everybody else does it. By saying that I love my children but beating on them, it shows that I'm a hypocrite. And the same thing, Shane, would be true for you. You can say you're a Christian, but if your life doesn't resemble the walk of a true Christian, then, dude, something's radically wrong. Does that make sense to you?
No, it does. It makes sense, being a hypocrite. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I'm not living my life whatsoever, following the path. I've strayed from it, and I know that.
Yeah. And this might be a little radical, too. I know that a lot of times we say, well, then you just need to rededicate or recommit your life to Jesus, and he'll just get you fired up again. Man, I think you need to start from scratch. I think you need to get saved for the very first time.
Let me ask you, what religion are y'all?
Evangelical. What are you, Southern Baptist? Is that what you grew up in?
Right.
That's a lovely denomination. That's great. But you go to a Southern Baptist church. That's great. But your big issue still is you need to be born again for the very first time. Because, Shane, it's not about just kind of wandering away and backsliding. The Bible says that when God saves you, you become a new creature. The old things are gone. You have new desires and new affections. And, dude, that just doesn't sound like the case for you. And, you know, when you went to church, did you like it, or was it just kind of torture for you?
No, at first my parents made me go, but after that I liked it.
Yeah. But something is not right. If you're not desiring and seeking the things of God and reading your Bible and doing what it says, it's like a doctor trying to give you a little checkup and to say, hey, something's horribly wrong here. And I don't think the Bible says that you backslid or you've just wandered away. The Bible says you'd be a false convert. And, dude, I'm telling you, I don't want you to go to hell either. I don't even know you either. I'm listening to you, and I like you too, and I don't want you to go to hell.
I don't either.
Would you please consider these things today? I know these have been sobering words. I hope they have been. But, dude, put down the beers, man, and don't let the day go by. Don't get loaded today and deal with it tomorrow once your head clears up. Please think about these things. Please consider them. If you're not acting like a Christian, you're not one. And so maybe this is the wake-up call that you need to get yourself right with God. Think about your sins. Think about the kindness of God demonstrated on the cross, and then repent and put your trust in Jesus. Will you please think about it today?
No, I will. My parents, they've been bugging me about it for a while and trying to get me back in church. So, I mean, no, I mean, this isn't going, like, out one ear.
One ear and out the other. That's all we can ask, dude.
Until next time, go serve your King.